Well, good evening, dear ones, and welcome to our midweek church service. Welcome to those listening on the phone and those listening to the recording, and praise God and thank Him for all the many and wonderful blessings that He has showered upon us as unworthy as we are throughout this past year. We serve such a marvelous, wonderful God, God of all grace indeed. So welcome, dear ones. Our opening song is titled, Are You Washed in the Blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lo, the Bridegroom cometh, are your lamps trimmed right? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, be washed in the blood. In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Have your garments spotless. Have them white as snow. And be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I pray that each one of us will moment by moment be clean in the Savior, washed totally from sin, stain, corruption, and from our old man or woman experience, to daily be hid in Christ, in Him only. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer to tonight's service. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much for Your divine protection, watchful care, and tender mercy and blessings throughout this past week, bringing us safely to the middle of this week, to another time of fellowship and digging into thy word of inspiration to behold a thus saith the Lord and an it is written regarding our salvation and uplifting Jesus Christ. We give you full control of tonight's meeting and of our hearts, and we pray that thy presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, will be abiding guests here as well as in our hearts. And please, Spirit, open our understanding to the word of life, that we may indeed have an abundant feast of the living manna, the bread of life, and indeed be nourished in the Lamb of God. Please be with all of those who may be traveling. Give them traveling mercies and bring them back together again with us soon. And please help them to be a witness to their family members on Thanksgiving tomorrow. And thank you so much again for thy merciful kindness and for being here with us tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So welcome, dear ones. We are continuing in our study book of Romans. This is chapter 8, and we left off at verse 5 last time. And no, dear brother, you're not interrupting. You come for our Wednesday evening meeting, and it's good to see you here. We left off last time with Paul talking about Christ keeping God's law so that his righteousness might be fulfilled in us if we no longer walk after the flesh or the desires of our fallen nature, but walk after the Spirit or doing the works of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit manifested in our lives. And if we do so, then the righteousness of God's Ten Commandment law will be fulfilled in us because we are doing the will of God and not our own will. So that's where we left off last Wednesday, and now we pick it up at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So those that choose to live after the desires of their flesh or fulfilling the desires of the flesh will have the mind of the flesh. That's what they will want to do, to fulfill its evil desires. But they that are after the Spirit, or they that want to please God, will perform the things of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, manifested in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if we want peace, then we have to be spiritually minded, and then we'll have peace with God and peace within. We may not have external peace, because those that are carnally minded are going to fight and war against those that are spiritually minded. But it means everything to the Christian to have peace with God and his internal peace within us. So to live in the flesh is death, but to live in the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So those that are not born again after the likeness of Christ cannot keep God's law. It's impossible because they cannot please God. They're serving a different master. They're not serving God. But after we've been born again, then our old man or old woman lifestyle has been set in the past. It's been crucified. It's been left behind. We're no longer fleshly minded. We're no longer carnally minded. We're no longer the enemies of God. But we are now in Christ, covered with His precious blood, merits, and righteousness. God gives us the Holy Spirit, and thus we're to be spiritually minded. Before we found Christ, we could not keep the law because we're not subject to the law. The flesh cannot please God. But after we found Christ, then we can be subject to the law of God, and we can please God because we're doing the things that please Him, being spiritually minded. Remember, Paul talked about the law of God, the Ten Commandments, are not carnal, but they're spiritual. And those that are walking in the Spirit will be able to keep God's law because they have His grace and strength to please Him and not themselves. So the key is to be converted to God, born again, becoming that new creature, that new bottle in Christ Jesus. And until that happens in your life, you cannot please God. Because your flesh is not subject to God's law. It will not obey it. Because it obeys another master. Are there any thoughts, comments, any questions before we move on to verse 9? Please go right ahead.
Good evening, everyone. My take on not being able to please God because we don't have a spiritual mind is not because God wants to forsake us. It's just we're not pleasing to Him because He can't be with us because His brightness would consume us. So how we please God is to follow His law, which is His character, and His whole law is about love. And so this is why I think we can't please Him, because He knows that if we're not spiritual, He can't have anything to do with us because it would kill us.
Amen. Without the love of God in our hearts, it's impossible for us to keep God's law. As long as the love of sin is in our hearts, then we will continually break God's commandments. So the choice is, what kind of love are we going to allow to exist within us? Supreme love to God? Or supreme love of self. If we're self-oriented, then we cannot please God. If we're God-oriented, then we will be able to please Him. Because it is His grace and strength that is working within us to will and to do of His good pleasure, not our own. And you're right, dear sister. Love is the key to being with God. Are there any other thoughts? Please feel free.
Good evening, everyone. I was just thinking about that the Holy Spirit, when He came in the fullness of the hearts of those at Pentecost, they were filled with just love. and love for all men. And the first thing they did was to go out and witness, and their hearts were so in it. And I have read and believe it to be true that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of love, because we know that, because God is love. And so an evidence of the fullness of the Spirit is fullness of love. And the amount of true godly love that we have gives the evidence of, you know, the amount of the Holy Spirit that we have. And of course that is going to be in obeying, loving God first and foremost, and seeing in obedience and in faith and, you know, just joy in the Lord. But then also the burden and the desire for men to, you know, help them in whatever way. So that's always been an encouragement to me when I find myself not having, you know, maybe I haven't been walking in that love that I want to be in every moment, and I haven't, it's so easy to get away from it if we're not careful. I mean, I'm talking about just being so careful in that love and always putting others first. And so it's a good help to me to remember that the Holy Spirit brings that love to us, and to be in Him, we can always check it by, am I walking in love? And we can always check ourselves. So it's just a good reminder.
Amen. Amen. We're to examine ourselves whether we're in the way of life or not, and not just take for granted that we are. So amen, dear sister. And those that love know God, and they will be keeping His commandments out of love for Him. So amen. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So not only must you have Christ, but you must also have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have Christ. How many people talk about having the Spirit as well as having Christ? Because you can't have one without the other. Let's think about that for a little bit. Christ, when He became human, lost His omnipresence. So He can't be everywhere at once like He could have before He became human. But when He became human, He lost that ability to be everywhere at once. Humanity limited part of Christ's Godhood. So since Christ can't be everywhere at once, and we know that He's our high priest in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary right now, ever since October 22, 1844, then He physically cannot be here with us. So then, how is Christ going to dwell in our hearts? How is He going to be here in our midst? Because we're told where two or three are gathered together in His name, that He would be here. Amen. The Holy Spirit is God, has omnipresence, and is in union with Christ and the Father. So then, if the Spirit comes here in our midst, in the name of Christ, He brings the Savior to us. He also brings the presence of God the Father with us. And thus we have their communion here, all because of the Holy Spirit. So if we want Christ in our heart, we must plead for the Holy Spirit to bring Him to us. So if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit as his representative that brings the Savior to us, then we don't have Christ. We're none of his. And that's why the devil is so mercilessly attacking the Holy Spirit and getting people to believe that there really is no Holy Spirit, that it's just the Father's Spirit or the Spirit of Christ himself, and that there is no third person of the Godhead. Because the devil understands this verse in Romans 8:9, that if we don't have the person of the Holy Spirit with us and dwelling in us, then we don't have Christ. And thus we're none of his. We are lost. So without the Spirit working within us, there's no way that we could come out of our fleshly experience. There's no way that Christ can come to us. There's no way that we can be convicted of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. There's no way that we could be saved. Christ himself can't be here. He's limited by humanity. The Father himself can't be here because we'd be destroyed by his glory, his brightness that consumes sin. So then the only way that we can possibly be saved is for the Holy Spirit to bring both Christ and the Father to dwell with us and to rule within us. Amen. A comment in the room, it says that the Holy Spirit is our teacher, our guide, our ever-present source of love. Amen. And amen. A comment in the room says, if we don't have Christ in us, he doesn't recognize us as his. Amen indeed. So, salvation was developed by the Father. It was carried out by Jesus Christ. But it's made effectual within us by the Holy Spirit. So without the Holy Spirit, we're cut off from the Father and the Savior. We're lost. So if any man, any woman has not the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, Christ's representatives, then he is none of his. He is not part of the Savior, not a follower of Christ. So praise God for pouring out his Spirit upon us. And praise the Holy Spirit for being so long-suffering with each one of us, especially myself. Continuing to woo us away from the world, away from our fallen carnal nature, and bringing us directly to the foot of our Savior for salvation. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So if Christ is in you, then ye have life. Because you are doing the things that please God. You're subject to God's law. You're keeping it by the grace and strength given to you by Christ through the Holy Spirit. And thus you're performing the deeds of righteousness. So the Holy Spirit within you brings life because of righteousness. Because Christ is living within you, and the body is dead to sin. Now, what if you commit sin? Is Christ still in you? Are you still walking in the way of life because of righteousness? The answer is no, because sin is the opposite of righteousness. So if Christ is in you, then you will not sin because it's dead. And you're now living a new life, the life of righteousness, the life of peace with God through Jesus Christ, all because of the Spirit. So if you commit sin, then Christ is not in you. You are not in life. You're not walking in the way of life. You're not performing righteousness and obedience to God's law because your body of sin is alive. And thus Christ is dead. So you can't have both sin and Christ at the same time. It's one or the other. Either self is alive and Christ is dead, or Christ is alive and self is dead. It's one or the other. And that battle between who we're going to allow to be dead and alive within us goes on.
In talking about having sin in the person and Christ in the person, I'm thinking there is a difference between, I know sin is sin, but there's a difference when you choose to sin and when you have made a mistake and sinned but didn't mean to, because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And as we grow into Christ, and I'm speaking about a person that's still growing, we're going to make mistakes, but it doesn't mean that Jesus leaves us. It means the Holy Spirit will tell us, hey, this is wrong and you need to correct it. And you ask forgiveness for that.
Thank you for that. There is a difference. And the difference is not so much from the aspect that it's not sin, but it's how Christ deals with that. We're told in Hebrews chapter 8 or chapter 9, maybe chapter 9, that Christ intercedes for his people for the sins of ignorance. So if we are ignorantly breaking God's law, it is still sin. But Christ's, because it's sins of ignorance, because we don't know what we're doing is wrong, we haven't that intelligent choice to no longer do that out of love for Christ. Christ intercedes for us before the Father, and we're not held guilty for those sins of ignorance. It's still sin. We've still broken God's law. But because we didn't do it with knowledge, we didn't do it with choice, it was ignorantly committed, then we're not held guilty for that sin. And you're right, Christ does not leave us. All because of his merciful kindness. So you're absolutely correct, dear sister. But it is still sin. It's just the guilt is not attributed to us. And that's why Christ can still be with us. And the Spirit hasn't left us. It will continue to work on our hearts to reprove us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So for all of those individuals that are truly converted to God but have not yet understood the Sabbath truth, and each week they're breaking the Sabbath and are worshiping on Sunday, they're doing so in ignorance, and thus their guilt for breaking God's law is not attributed to them. Christ is still there with them. The Spirit is still working upon their hearts, and God will arrange the circumstances to bring them into connection with the truth about Saturday being God's Sabbath and not Sunday. And when that information comes to them and they recognize that they've been keeping the wrong day, now they're no longer ignorant. Now they have to make a choice to continue in their sinful pathway or to change. If they change, then obviously they would recognize the sin that they have been committing, would repent for breaking God's Sabbath all of those many years, and now would come into harmony with the law of the fourth commandment and start keeping Saturday as the Sabbath. All of their past sins on that regard would be forgiven them and covered by the precious blood, merits, and righteousness of Christ. But if they continue breaking God's law, then they have done so with intelligent choice, with knowledge. And that's when they become Christless, because now the guilt of that sin is attributed to them, because they're no longer ignorant. So thank you, dear sister. That was a very good point. So sin is sin. But if we do so in ignorance, then that guilt is not attributed to us, and we can still move forward in the Savior. But God will indeed enlighten us, enlighten everyone in the world with His glory, with His true character, with the Ten Commandments. And everyone will be brought to an intelligent decision on who they're going to follow. And I pray that each one of us will indeed live up to all the light of truth that has opened across our pathway, and will not be guilty of crucifying Christ in order that our old man or old woman experience can continue to live like it did before the truth came to us. So if Christ be in you, the body is dead to sin, but alive to righteousness, all because of the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And praise God for making possible our salvation on a moment-by-moment basis. Are there any other thoughts, comments, any other questions before we open it up to a season of prayer? And please go right ahead.
If you could please remember Frank, he is a man that was very much acquainted with my brother, and he is has been helping me here in the home. He is Catholic. But Sabbath, he came and just to visit, and he heard Elder Robert speaking, and he stayed the whole time, and it was fantastic. So I asked him, are you going to come back next Sabbath and listen to Elder Robert? And he said he was going to try to be here. So please pray for him. Pray that he will be here.
Well, praise the Lord. We will indeed be keeping him in prayer, and we'll be praying for him tonight as well. And Lord willing, he will be able to come this coming Sabbath. And you know the devil is going to be doing everything possible to throw barriers and try and distract him away. But God is stronger than the devil. And so we'll be indeed praying that the Spirit will so impress and empower his heart that his curiosity will not be able to be quelched by side issues or distracted, but he will indeed come and partake of the Sabbath service with us. So amen indeed. Well, let us go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. Any that would like to pray, please feel free to do so. And I'll go ahead and start tonight. So let us please bow our heads. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we praise thy holy name for thy many wonderful blessings, your long-suffering to each one of us, for your grace and strength, for making possible our salvation. And thank you, Father, that your glory is indeed filling this earth to a greater extent than it did last Wednesday. And soon will be filled with the knowledge of salvation as the waters cover the sea. Father, I pray that you will help us to leave behind our old man and old woman experience, leave behind our carnal nature and carnal mind, and please pour upon us in rich abundance thy Spirit. And please, Spirit, fill us to the full and plant Jesus on the throne of our heart. Let us be spiritually minded. Let us not be the enemies of God anymore, but the friends of God. And please work within us, transform us from death to life. Dwell in and rule in our lives so that we may be connected with our Savior and not disconnected from him. That we will keep him alive because we love him and not want him dead because we want to do some action that breaks your commands. We want life in Christ. And so we choose to crucify the flesh and the devil along with it. And please help this to be the resolve of our lives moment by moment each day. And thank you so much for working within us this transformation from death to life. Please be with all of those who have asked for prayers. Please hear and answer their petitions according to thy perfect will. Please also be with Frank and with those in Africa that are hearing the meetings or considering going to the meetings. Please remove all barriers, all distractions, everything that the devil can possibly throw in their way to keep them from attending. Remove it all and let there be a clear, straight path, and give them the grace and the strength and the courage to attend. And please open their hearts that the truths that are shared will take deep root and will indeed be able to be sprouted when watered by the Holy Spirit at the proper time. Thank you so much for thy merciful kindness and tender love, and we love you too. Please fill our hearts to overflowing with your love. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for being so patient with us when we don't seem to get it right many times. And Father, help me. I don't know if anyone else has this experience but me, but help us to look at the Ten Commandments, your law, your character from the positive side instead of the negative side as something that we have to keep or we're not going to go to heaven. Help us to look at it like it's a joy to have that boundary. Like teenagers, they need a boundary so they feel safe. Help us to look at the law as it's meant to be a barrier to keep us safe. And thank you, Jesus, so much for doing this for us. Be with those who are seeking for you. Knock the negative influence of the evil spirits and the devil out of their presence and give them peace in their hearts. Be with Frank and help him to choose to come here next Sabbath and fellowship with us. Be with each and every one of us tomorrow as we celebrate Thanksgiving. Be with those who have already celebrated it. And let us even be thankful for the negative things that come our way, because you don't ever let anything come into our lives that isn't for us to learn something from. So help us to be thankful when a problem comes into our life. We know that we can count on you to help us solve it, and we will be stronger because we went to you. Thank you, Jesus, for all of this that you have done for us and for the enlightening from the Holy Spirit. And we look forward to spending eternity with you. We don't understand eternity right now because everything we know has a beginning and an end. But we will understand it perfectly when you come in the clouds and we're ready to meet you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jesus. We love you. Amen.
Lord God, I just want to praise and thank you for this day that you've given us. Another day to fight the good fight of faith. Another day to grow. Another day to serve you and love you and praise you and be about your business on behalf of men. And I pray for this man, Frank, who is coming to Sister Jones, that he would come again and that you would touch his heart through thy spirit and truth, spirit of truth, and that he would turn to Christ, put his faith in him, and repent of going his own way and be born again. And I pray that for my own loved ones, my husband, my son and his daughter and their son, and for all of us who have dearly loved ones in our families and have friends, for the salvation of those, for everyone in this room and in this fellowship who are prayed for by those that are a part of this fellowship. I lift up that prayer for the lost souls. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your loving kindness and your goodness to the sons of men. And may we go and do likewise in the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit. And bless each one here. And help us to be earnest every day in our walk with you and in truly growing. To be earnest about it, Lord. Help us. And help us to lay these things to our heart. And to be diligent in business. The business of growing in the faith and serving you.
and amen. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Please feel free.
Well, I feel the Spirit. It's a wonderful thing. So I just have to sing this little song. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go. In this world below, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Thank you.
Well, I just want to sing something too. We were talking about love tonight, and I haven't sung this in a while, even to myself, and I just like to sing it. It's 1 Corinthians 13 on charity. Charity, charity, charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Charity beareth all things. Charity believeth all things. Charity hopeth all things. Charity endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, dear sisters, for those lovely songs. And indeed, the greatest of these is agape love, charity. Well, a hymn comes to mind dealing with the Holy Spirit. And for those that would like to take a verse of this wonderful hymn, please feel free to do so. It's called Open Mine Eyes. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes,
open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything else will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me.
Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine. And I pray that indeed the Holy Spirit will continue to illumine your mind, to open it, to behold wondrous things out of God's word of truth. Dear ones, is there any other thoughts, any other songs, any other questions or comments, any testimonies that you'd like to give? Please feel free.
Just another request to just ask you to keep my husband in prayer. I believe the Holy Spirit is bringing him under conviction. He doesn't seem happy like I think he thought he would be. I'm sure there's times where he's happy, but I believe with all my heart there's a deep sadness about him too that he can't shake off, because he knows what he's doing is wrong. And I know he still loves me. He just doesn't like the direction that I'm going in. And he wants me to not do that, which I can't do, but just please keep him in prayer, especially at this time while it appears the Holy Spirit is working on his heart.
We will indeed, dear sister. And sometimes it's during these times of year that the memories come flooding back in of the good times and the loving times that they've had. And that may be just exactly what the Spirit needs to drive that conviction even deeper that what he's doing is wrong. And so we will indeed, dear sister, be keeping him in prayer. And may that spell, that infatuation that seems to have a hold on him, be completely broken down. And God's Spirit be able to fully convict him and reprove him of sin and bring him back into keeping God's commandments and recognizing that time is short. So we will indeed continue to keep Mike in prayer, dear sister, and yourself as well, for the extra grace and strength and courage to endure and to hold fast to the truth as it is in Christ.
Yes, we certainly will, Sister Teresa. It takes a strong woman, you plus God, and you can go through anything with grace. I heard a song for the first time. It was sung by a cappella group called Pentatonix. And it's named Mary, Did You Know?, talking about the mother of Jesus. And I don't know all of the words. I don't even know the tune, but there's a phrase in that just is kind of thrilling when you think about Mary with the baby Jesus. And that phrase in the song is, Mary, did you know? When you kiss your baby boy, you kiss the face of God. And I just never thought of it that way.
Yeah, what a thought indeed. And just think, dear ones, if we are faithful to the end, that we'll be able to kiss and to hug our Savior. And what an amazing thought that is. Indeed, looking forward to it. Well, dear ones, may God bless. May you continue to look up from whence cometh your strength and help and your change in life on an ever-growing basis. For those that are traveling to visit loved ones on Thanksgiving, may God give you traveling mercies. May you not see or be involved in any accidents. And may you also be an effective witness to your loved ones and friends and family members of the Savior, and indeed give praise and thanksgiving to Him that has made all things throughout this past year possible. So may God bless, dear ones, and I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So thank you, Father and Savior and Spirit, for all that you've done for us throughout this past year. And all that you will continue to do until Jesus comes. So good night, dear ones, and keep looking up.
Good night, everybody.